Lake Effect Weekend continues on Milwaukee's NPR. I'm Audrey Nowakowski.
And I'm Mitch Teich. As we get started with 2018, we still take time to look back on the not-so-distant 2017 in all of its best-of lists. From best trends to best foods, movies, events, and more, we often try to quantify a year into a compact bullet list.
But one area that is often overlooked on your best-of scrolling is the best-of astronomy. 2017 was an incredibly exciting year for space. From the discovery of gravitational waves to the solar eclipse and capturing the most detailed photo of Earth ever taken from space.
UW-Milwaukee's Manfred Olson Planetarium Director Gene Creighton joined Lake Effect's Bonnie North in the studio recently to talk about some of the discoveries that made for a monumental year.
Hello, Gene. How are you?
I'm great, Bonnie. Nice to be here.
We're here wrapping up another year. Mm-hmm. It's so hard to believe. We were talking the other day. It's been about 10 years that mm-hmm. we have been doing this. And, you know, every month we talk about what's going on in the world of astronomy and astrophysics. And so December, it's like a normal time to kind of look back on the year and say, what the heck happened? And so much happened. This was a huge year.
This was a huge year. Yep.
Starting with like neutron stars colliding.
That's right. Yeah. Right. And we've talked about this, of course, before, but in case our listeners need a refresher, we saw in August two neutron stars merging into one. This is a powerful enough event that it sends gravitational waves or ripples in space-time all the way to us, approximately 130 million light years away.
That's a very far distance.
That is a far distance. And what, I mean, it just gets better and better. And what else? And well, there were 70 observatories who saw the same event, but in different kinds of light.
Right, where we had different parts of the spectrum, where interpret that.
That's right.
Yeah.
So this is not some fluke. This is not some little glitch. This is real, and we see it in many ways, and we were able to pinpoint its location well enough. This is hard, and we needed luck, so that we could say, okay, people, this is the galaxy we're looking at. Go. If we said, oh, this huge swath is where the signal came from, well, then we wouldn't be able to see it because telescopes normally need a very small field of view for them to be able to locate it.
So one of the great things about this, not just that we saw two neutron stars colliding and merging together, which is cool in and of itself, but we have the technology. I mean, what this tells us that we now have advanced enough where we can predict this and point telescopes in the right direction, not just sort of generally, but specifically. And we can interpret all of this data across the entire spectrum.
That's right. And the hope is that this is just the beginning, the tip of the iceberg, that as we get more and more of this data, these will become routine, and at that point, we'll be able to get good statistics. So we'll be able not to say, oh, there's just one, but dozens, and now we have an idea of how many there are, how big they are, how exactly they occur. We would get the real astrophysics, the meat of it.
Right. Know? What makes them do it? Yeah. You know, what are the situations mm-hmm. exactly? That's very exciting.
It is very exciting.
Yeah.
Not to mention that there was all this bonus stuff. Like, for example, the fact that the light signals came so close together, we had a gamma ray burst and the gravitational wave event within a few seconds of each other, tell us that, oh, gravitational waves really do travel very, very, very close, if not exactly at the speed of light. So we have things that we've kind of assumed, but it's nice to get those confirmations. Also, part of the observation told us, yes, yet another prediction that Einstein made with general relativity turned out to be true. Added bonus, the gold that you're wearing, and in the holidays, I guess we wear more jewelry sometimes, the gold that you're wearing was likely produced by mergers of neutron stars.
Oh, I like that. Neutron star jewelry.
That's right. Yes. Cosmic jewelry.
Cosmic jewelry.
Yes.
Fabulous stuff. Okay, so that was a big thing that happened in 2017.
That was certainly the biggest thing that happened. Yep.
Another thing that happened in August that was pretty darn big in a different sort of way was this fabulous full eclipse, solar eclipse that so many people got to see across the United States.
That's right. And of course, as a person who runs a planetarium, we had been thinking about that for over a year. So it was so gratifying that we had decent enough weather that we got to see that itty-bitty little sliver of the sun. We did not in Milwaukee get totality, but perhaps some of our listeners had the opportunity to travel. Many people did. But even I can say, even the partial solar eclipse was very impressive indeed.
It was. I went downstairs with the welder's glass and stood on the riverfront and watched it, and it was really really something.
Yes.
At 88% or whatever it was. Yeah.
Yes. So keep note to self into 2024. I think it's April 8th, but don't quote me on that. It's certainly in April of 2024. We have another total solar eclipse that will be visible in the eastern part of the U.S. So listeners might want to put that in their calendar and their mental note. If they want to see a total eclipse, that's the next time, 2024.
Okay. What else happened?
Well, let's go to Cassini.
Ah, yes.
The Cassini spacecraft that had been orbiting the system of Saturn for 13 years was this September deep sixed into Saturn. And people sometimes wonder, well, why would you do that? Why would you take a perfectly lovely spacecraft and basically destroy it? Well, his days were numbered anyway, but we wanted to make sure that we don't accidentally contaminate some of the cool moons of Saturn with our own bacteria, the things that the spacecraft would inevitably have. Enceladus has been such a fantastic surprise because we found in its plumes vapor water. So it could be that this is a place with life, and we wouldn't want to say we found life, but we're not sure
if it's
whether
ours.
It's ours. I mean, maybe it's just our own debris that we found, which would be terribly disappointing.
So it's unlikely that by throwing it into Saturn and having it burn up in the atmosphere, we're not worried about contaminating Saturn.
We are not.
Okay.
We are not, because I don't think anybody has any expectation that Saturn has life. The moons of Saturn would be much more likely.
Okay.
Titan, places like that. Enceladus, as I said, has bubbled up to be the most likely moon in the solar system to have life. So we'll see. That doesn't mean it has it, but it does mean that we are intrigued.
Yes.
So speaking of systems, we should, of course, mention the TRAPPIST system, because that is one of these exoplanets where we have around a different star than our own planets. We found seven Earth-like planets that are in mostly what we call the life zone. So that's where water is not too hot, not too cold. In principle, you could have water liquid. Well, that's, of course, fun and fascinating, because in the last 20 years, the more we look, the more exoplanets we find, the more promising they seem to be. I think it's just a matter of time, and maybe not that much time, before we identify a place that really, truly has all the ingredients. Everything is ready for us just to dig a little deeper, maybe in its atmosphere, to see, can we find proof of life there?
Right. How far away are these seven planets? I mean, this is not something we're going to be able to travel to anytime soon.
Oh, no. All of these systems are within typically 100 or so light years, and I think this guy is closer than that. And I would get something like 10 or so.
But still insurmountable distances.
Yes.
At this point.
Let me just remind you that there had been talk, and there still is talk, about the Breakthrough Project, where we're hoping to send something the size of a stamp to the closest planetary system to us, which is Alpha Proxima Centauri. It would take 20 years even if they moved at 20% the speed of light.
And that's fast.
That's very fast. Yeah. And we're probably 20 years away from having the technology to accomplish that. But still, if we do the mental math, that's 40 years. I'll be an old lady, but both my grandmothers lived to be 90, so who knows?
We might still be around.
We might do it.
We might still. I wonder if we'll still be having these conversations at that point. Well, let's hope that we live to see that.
Yes,
that
would certainly be very cool. Certainly, you know, our children's generation. So I think there's something to look forward to. And the beautiful thing about this is I'm hoping our younger listeners think about how they can contribute to that quest.
Like Effect Astronomy contributor Gene Creighton is the director of the Manfred Olson Planetarium, which is located on the campus of UWM. You can find out more about their shows from a link at WUWM.com.
I wish on the moon for something.